Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abaddon Shaw.
Several years ago, Nicole was really into doing her family history, the genealogy stuff. And so she scoured the libraries. She was on the internet for hours and hours. And we would go to graveyards just trying to match the tombstones with the names of family and all of that all over Georgia. She would be up late at night, had notes scattered everywhere on the dining room table. I mean, it was quite a time in our lives, and she would try to connect these genealogical dots from this family to this family and that family and there and this. I mean, it went on for months until I could see that she was getting frustrated, and she came to me one day and said, "I just don't know that some of these people have just vanished into thin air. I just can't seem to get past them. I just don't know what's going on." She called up her grandmother in South Georgia and said, "Can you help me?" And she said, "I guess I'll try." So she took all her notes, and we went down for Christmas, and we went over everything. And I remember her grandmother, she's 91, 92 now, she said with a smirk, she said, "Honey, have you ever thought that maybe the reason you cannot find them is because they didn't want to be found?" The point is, whether it was in that family or not, maybe just a family name, everyone has some skeletons in their family closet. There are no perfect families. If anyone ever claims or makes it out to be like they are the family man, it was just pure, clean, wonderful, they're lying. All of us have some rotten fruits in that family tree. We do. And this morning we're going to learn how to deal with those embarrassing family moments and situations. This is unlike the typical messages that you hear, whether here or somewhere else. This is not your typical sermon. I'm hoping that as I'm preaching to you from the Word of God, it's more of a counseling session. That you're looking at it and going, "Okay, that makes sense. I get it." Rather than just do this, and do this, okay? So this morning, we're going to look at a family that we've been studying since last weekend, the family of Abraham and Sarah. They had some skeletons in their closet. Let's all stand together, Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 10. "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai his wife, 'Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife," and they will kill me. But they'll let you live. Please say that you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." What in the world would possess a man like Abraham? Who was Abraham? The man who left everything behind and launched out to follow God wherever he leads. A man who was willing to take his only son and sacrifice him on the altar to God because God told him to. The man who is known as a friend of God, a father to the faithful, a possessor of heaven and earth. He would say, "Honey, can you help me out? Can you like say that we're brother and sister?" Let me repeat that statement once again, and hopefully it'll stick and stay in your mind and your heart. Very simple statement. There are no perfect families. We all have some skeletons in our family closet. We all have those, if you want to use the metaphor of a family tree, we all have those rotten fruits hanging somewhere in our family tree. For some, they're obvious. For others, we have covered them up. We have hidden them, but they're there. The message today is going to help us deal with those skeletons and deal with those rotten fruits. But before we do that, let me ask you this morning, do you have some embarrassing family secrets? Some situations that are taboo, we don't talk about them. Things that mom and daddy did, or a grandfather did, or grandmother did, or somewhere way back there, things that happened. Now, my purpose in this message is not to get you to open up. The purpose is this: how do you handle them? How do you think about your past? Have you embellished your past? You know what embellished means? You made it better than it is. Here's another question. Do you blame all your failures on their shameful memories? That also happens. Well, I messed up because of what this person did, or this person wasn't there. Let me also ask you this morning, do you wear those embarrassing family situations or shameful events as a badge of honor? Some people do that. And I'm praying this morning that as we deal with these skeletons in the family closet, that you will look at them through a whole new set of glasses. And here's a deeper question, a question I ask every week. If you are saved, do you realize that you are now part of a whole new family? You know, before you get saved, you have an earthly family that may be perfect, an earthly family that may be horrible. But when you get saved, you are now grafted into the family of God. Listen to what it says in John chapter 1, verse 12. And I hope these words just stay in your mind and your heart. But as many as received Him, meaning Christ, to them He gave the right. It's like He gave them a new birth certificate. He gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. When you receive Christ as your Savior, God gives you new adoption papers. Now you are my child. Now I know sometimes we have so watered that down, it has become a cliche. We don't think about it, that at this moment I am my parents' child, but I'm also a child of God. God is my heavenly Father with all the rights and privileges. This morning, does your life reflect those family traits? The grace of God, the mercy of God, the truth of God, the wisdom of God, everything that your Father is, everything that Christ is, can people see those family traits? And this morning, I pray that you will examine your hearts as we walk through this message. So let's begin. We're studying the family of Abraham and Sarah. They had some skeletons in their closet. Our time is short. Let's jump right in. Skeleton number one. In Genesis 12, we just read the passage. There was a famine in the land of Canaan, so Abram took his wife Sarai. Their names haven't changed, and he went down to Egypt. But before he entered Egypt, he had a talk with her. It began with something like this. Honey, you look so pretty today. Well, I mean, what is it? I mean, something is just... Is that... Did you fix your hair? Did you get a new dress? Ladies, what happens when men are usually complimenting you like that? Hey, you need something. We need a favor. Can you do this for me? Can you make that call? Usually for me, it's like a doctor's appointment. I don't like to call for doctor's appointments. So usually something like, can you make a call for me? I don't know your schedule. You really look pretty today. Abraham, no different, 4,000 years ago, men haven't changed. So he says, can you do me a favor? We said, okay, what is it? But hold on to your hats, because this is unlike any favor. You're so pretty, when the Egyptians see you, they're going to try to take you. And once they know that I'm your husband, they're going to kill me and take you. Can you help me out, please? Can you lie and tell them that you are my sister so I can live? Now, this is Abraham. Remember when Lot was captured by the Mesopotamian kings? They came. Five kings came down, captured him, took him. Abraham got an army of his servants together, went after them, defeated all of them, and rescued his nephew and brought him back. The same Abraham is saying, can you please lie and pretend like we're brother and sister? He's hiding behind his wife. By the way, do you know how old they were? At this time, Abraham was 75 years old, and Sarai was 65 years old. He's 75, she's 65. Here's a point, please don't miss this, a principle. Age does not equal maturity. I've done things that I would not have done 10 years ago, but I don't know what possessed me to do that. Age does not always equal maturity, but praise God, if God can use a couple who is willing to do something like this, He can use us. Amen? But let's move on. Skeleton number two. Time is short. Genesis 20. Now we come to another incident which is very similar to the first one. It's been 25 years since Egypt. Y'all help me with the math. If he was 75, 25 years, he is now 100 years old. Sarah was 65, 25 years, she is 90 years old. You would think by now, a 100-year-old man would know better. But guess what? Here we go again. Now, Abraham, verse 2, said of Sarai, his wife, "She is my sister." That sounded pretty good. He lies again. So what did the king do? This is the king of Gerar in Canaan. He sent and took Sarah. I mean, she must be some woman. 90 years old. He's like, I want that girl. So what happens here? Listen to verse 10. God comes to Abimelech in a dream and says, that's someone else's wife. You are a dead man. So I love the way Abimelech talks to him. I want you to see what he says. Imagine this king sitting on his throne and a 100-year-old man is standing there. Like, what possessed you to do this? You're 100. You should know better by now. You should not be claiming your wife as your sister. But listen to Abraham's response to this. He says, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place and they will kill me on account of my wife. So yeah, I lied. But now you're going to see a real nice skeleton coming out of the closet. Verse 12. But indeed, she is truly my sister. Oops. You married to your sister, dude? Yeah. Now, sometimes people have a misunderstanding of ancient history. They think that about this time, people were marrying their sisters and it was not a big deal. Not true. In the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam and Eve, at that point, yeah, it was acceptable for a time. This is way after the flood. Things have changed. You don't have incestual relationships anymore. Okay? This is not normal. That's the reason why even this incident is mentioned in here. But listen to how Abraham tries to clarify, as if that makes it easier. Listen to what he says. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. Oh, well, that makes it all right. Of course you have the same dad, but not the same mom. It's all good now. Of course not. She is your sister. But it gets better and better. Verse 13, and it came to pass, Abraham says, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, this is your agreement with me, that you should, every place we go, you should say about me, he is my brother. This couple has been living a lie for 50 some years. Now, only two of those incidents are actually recorded in the Bible, but everywhere they went, how do you think Abraham introduced Sarah? Meet my sister. And I can imagine the girls of the village coming and saying, well, so you never married? No. Well, who's that man? Oh, that's my brother. Every time they went in public, no display of affection, nothing, because this couple is living a lie. You know how common that is, folks? Not necessarily brother and sister type situation, but people live a lie. Because they have made an unholy pact. Be very careful about agreements that you have made before you got saved. Agreements that you have made in fear and selfishness instead of prayer and faith. Listen, they are devastating. It's so much easier to say, God, I made that decision before I got saved that I will never do this, now I'm following you. The rules have changed. If I may add, a half-truth is still a full lie. It never works out when you hide the truth. This couple, they were lying for all these years. It caught up with them. Let's move on. Skeleton number three. Genesis 26. This time Abraham is not in the spotlight. It is his son Isaac. And so what happens in verse 7? A man of the place asked about his wife. What did the son do? Same thing daddy did. She is my sister. For he was afraid to say she is my wife because he thought, lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah because she is beautiful to behold. I mean, something is wrong in this family tree, isn't it? There's a principle I want you to remember. It's not original to me. Someone else said it, but I think it's so true. Whatever you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. If you lie in moderation, don't expect your children to be honest, Abe. They're going to lie in excess. If you have a filthy mouth in moderation, your children will have a filthy mouth in excess. This is just how things work. It's only by the grace of God that you can reverse that your parents were not what they were supposed to be. But listen, you are walking with God. It happens all the time, but it's only by the grace of God. Isaac copied his daddy. By the way, the moderation excess situation, Abraham sort of lied, but Isaac really lied, because Isaac and Rebekah were not brother and sister. They were cousins. Let me say this before we go to the second half, the deeper part of the message. Do you have an unflattering past in your family history? Are there some scandalous moments in your parents, grandparents, sometimes even great-grandparents' life? Here's my message to you this morning. Take hope. If God can work with Abraham and Sarah, even though it was an incest, even though their children did something sort of similar, of course they went to their own country, people who followed God just like they did. Of course, I understand all of that. The point is this: if God can work with that group, He can work with you. But let's go a little deeper. Why did Abraham and later his son Isaac do what they did? And I mean, the real reason behind why they claimed their wives as their sister. You say, well, I mean, they were scared. It's more than that. I want us to be a detective for the next few minutes. I have a theory. Abraham did not lie just to save his skin. I believe that he misunderstood what God told him. I want you to think again and read again with me Genesis 12, verse 1, when God called him. Listen to what God said to him. He said, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I wonder if Abraham mistakenly thought that God intended to bring his blessing, his plan into the world only through him. Hence, everywhere they went, the plan was to protect him. Are y'all still with me? The plan was, I need to be protected. I need to stay alive. Abraham was not a coward. He was thinking that he alone was crucial for God's plan. So, Sarah, help me out here. Because if they kill me, God's plan is going to be in jeopardy. So, lie. I know you're going to live and move on. But I can live too and go ahead and have that child on whatever needs to happen, so God's plan will not fail. I know some of y'all looking at me going, I don't know. That's too much. Have you ever read these three chapters? Genesis 12, 20, and 26. I encourage you, go home and read it all the way. You know the one thing you're going to find right up from the top? God never condemned Abraham or Isaac for what they did. He never said, "Abraham, how dare you lie? Isaac, what's wrong with you?" He never, ever condemned. Would you like to know who he condemned? The people who got lied to. Let me read to you what he did. In Genesis 12, after Pharaoh took Sarah with him, the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. It's like, God, this is not fair. The dude lied. Okay? And we're getting punished for him? Guess what happens the second time? The second skeleton incident, Genesis 20:18, the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech. And I love this phrase, because of Sarai, or Sarah, Abram's wife. God actually punished the other group. You know the second thing you're going to find? Is that God actually blessed Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah each time. They went to Egypt. They lie. God punishes the Egyptians and he blesses Abraham and Sarah. They lie to Abimelech and they walk away with gold and silver. They got more blessing. It's like, wait a minute, God, this is not fair. We have judged them wrongly. God saw their heart. God saw the heart of Abraham. God saw the heart of Sarah. And he knew their reasons for doing what they were doing because they were trying to be faithful to God. By the way, Sarah misunderstood as well. You say, how do you know that? Do you remember the time she brought her maidservant to Abraham and said, look, I can give you a child. Maybe you can try with this one. You know what she was thinking? It doesn't have to be me. As long as you have a descendant and you do what God's telling you to do, God's going to bless you and bless this world. Some of you have done this. You have so raised yourself up as if you are the one who is walking with God. Your wife is just there. Or vice versa. Wives, you have done this, that you are so spiritual, so godly. I love Jesus and I love to sing. And guess what? Your husband, he's just there. I just want him to be there. Shame on you. Let me give you some suggestions to deal with the skeletons in your family closet. Number one, be honest. Be humble. Don't forget where you came from. You don't have to blast it everywhere. Neither do you have to brag about your past. Neither do you have to embellish it. Just be honest. When I say be honest, I'm not saying be honest with others. Sometimes it's not worth sharing. Don't make yourself look better. Don't make yourself look worse. Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. Here's number two. Don't copy the wrong things someone in your family has done. Well, granddaddy did it. Well, granddaddy was wrong for doing that. You don't have to be like that. Can I have an amen on that? You don't have to be like that. By the way, time is running away. God blessed Abraham and Sarah when they left Egypt. God blessed Abraham and Sarah in Canaan. God blessed Isaac and Rebekah. But listen. Each time God blessed them, it also had some negative. Because it was in Egypt that Sarah found Hagar. If they had never done that deal, she wouldn't have had a Hagar. It was in Egypt that Lot was so enamored with the world that he came back and when Abraham said, well, pick whatever you want. And he said, ooh, that looks more like Egypt. And he picked Sodom and Gomorrah. Never ever say, well, you know, it all worked out in the end. No, be careful. Be careful. When you make the wrong decision, God will work everything together for good. But keep in mind, there's always that con. It is so much better to obey God, amen? So much better to do things all the way God's way. Half lies, half truths never truly work out. Here's another one. Accept the humanity of your parents. Some of us need to come off our high horse in how we judge our parents. I did this several years ago. I went through this season in my life where everything I looked back at my parents, it was black and white. It was cut and dry. Like they were, man, they blew it over there. You know, the older I get, I see my mom and daddy and their faults and their mistakes and the cracks in the wall. Guess what happened? The older I'm getting, the more the cracks are getting filled up. The older you're going to get, guess what's going to happen? Sometimes I feel sympathy for them. It's like, good gracious. My kids are all right, but growing up, I don't know how they had to deal with us. How in the world did they handle? Except that your parents were humans who make mistakes, who were selfish, who said things that should not have been said, who did things that should not have been done. Give them grace. Skeletons in the closet. Show those skeletons some grace. God showed you grace. God showed Abraham and Sarah grace. He said, I see the heart. If I were God, I would have said, oh, Abraham, boy, you're done. You're out of my plan. You're gone. God says, no, I see his heart. I know what he's up to. That old boy, he ain't going to learn. Show grace to your parents. Here's another one. When you follow God, know that he will always work all things together for good. He always does. If you let him, he will take the messes of your life, the messes of your past. He will take the skeletons, and just like Elijah, he will breathe life. I'm sorry, Ezekiel, he will breathe life into those skeletons. If you let him. I can give you many stories and many illustrations of men and women throughout history who had a terrible past. I don't want to do that. I want to give you one, though. This man had four women in his family tree. One of them, way back in the family tree, actually tricked her own father-in-law into sleeping with her and had a child, and that's part of the family tree. Another one was a prostitute. Another one was a descendant or a part of a family that was born because of a father sleeping with a daughter. Another one was an adulterer who was part of a plan to kill her own husband. Who am I talking about? Jesus. That's the family tree of Jesus. Isn't that amazing that if you read Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy, only four women are mentioned. All four of them had a scandalous past. Means when God said, it's time to bring my plan into the world, I'm going to begin with a brother and sister. Like, I don't know what's wrong with them, but hey, I'm going to use them. And then there's going to be another mess, another mess, another mess. Why? Because God specializes in messes. They were not right for what they did. But that's what God, that's amazing grace.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Skeletons in the closet. Every family has them. It's what you do with them. When you turn to Jesus Christ, he gives you the grace and the mercy to handle the past. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for today's sermon notes, my blog site at abidanshaw.com.